You are listening to the Mary Baker Eddy Library's article, The Christian Science Hymnal, History, Heritage, Healing. Chapter 6, The 1932 Hymnal, Part 1. In the 1920s, the Christian Science Board of Directors sensed that the 1910 edition of the Christian Science Hymnal needed updating. They moved forward in 1927, officially approving the formation of a committee in London to examine the book with a view to its revision and enlargement and to report their findings to the board. It is a testament to the growth and strength of the Christian Science movement in England that the directors reached out to its members before organizing an American committee. 5 women, each representing a different Christian Science branch church, were appointed to a revision committee with the purpose of forming a new vision and preparing an updated version of the hymnal. They met for the first time on October 17th at First Church of Christ Scientists, London, and worked together regularly over the next 3 years. Members included the Honorable Violet Spiller Hay, Chairman, Alfreda Harvey Bathurst, Elsie Gunn, Diane Kerr Seymour, Constance Pinwill. Less than a year later, a Boston Revision Committee was formed in June 1928. 7 members formed the original committee, its composition changing along the way with resignations and additions. Margaret Murney Glenn, later Margaret Glenn Maters, resigned March 19, 1929. Florence Middaugh, Mary M. Neal, Margaret S. Patton, resigned June 26, 1928. Florence Prey, Claude E. Saunier, resigned May 2, 1929. Walter E. Young, resigned March 19, 1929. Maria Louise Baum, appointed July 12, 1928. Francis Thompson Hill, appointed September 13, 1928. E. Elizabeth Ziethoff, appointed March 27, 1929. E. Norman Greenwood and James Helfenstein acted in an advisory capacity as expert hymnologists to the Boston Committee and later to the Final Revision Committee. The Christian Science field was informed that the hymnal was in the process of revision and members were invited to submit material. Original compositions by experienced writers, compositions of entirely new hymns, words, and music, are desired rather than recommendations for changes in the present hymnal, a subject which has already received much attention. The work offered should be of an appropriate religious character and of a recognized standard of musical excellence. Manual, Article 19, Section 1. The poetry should be of a like standard of excellence. All contributions should be in the hands of the directors not later than June 1, 1930. It is expected that the revision committee's work will be completed and the hymnal, it is hoped, ready for distribution early in 1932. Church members in the United States and abroad responded promptly and generously, contributing many inspired new hymn texts and tunes, as well as suitable hymns known and esteemed in their respective countries. These submissions played an essential role in forming a comprehensive and varied collection of materials to be considered for the new edition. The London and Boston committees completed their work in July and August of 1930, respectively, and a final committee of 3 was appointed in September. It consisted of Margaret Glenn Maters, chair, Florence Prey from the American committee, and Violet Hay from the London committee. The 3 women met steadily over the next 6 months, receiving a monthly salary and completing their work in March 1931. In all, this committee and the 2 previous committees held a total of 275 meetings over 4 years. They reviewed more than 6,000 hymn submissions. Articles in the Christian Science Sentinel kept people informed of the progress. The March 19, 1932 edition heralded the coming of Love and Satisfied in the new hymnal, Then 7 texts by Eddie would be included. A month after the committee finished its work, the Christian Science Publishing Society alerted branch churches that the hymnal would be available in early 1932. The directors, praying and expecting that Christian scientists would be receptive to the new volume, encouraged them to start learning the new hymns, not as a task, but as a joyful process of elevating and strengthening their spirituality. Margaret Morrison, the author of hymns 179 and 371, eloquently expressed this same point in her Sentinel article, Song and Salvation. Our revised hymnal, the result of much consecrated love and devotion, will soon be given to the field. With what gladness we give a willing welcome to this new evidence of mind's unfoldment. Mrs. Eddy has said, the song of Christian Science is work, 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 watch, and pray. According to this song of Christian Science, let us work and watch and pray that our new messenger of song, this beautiful development of good, be protected from the erroneous beliefs of the carnal mind, the notes of discord which would seek to annul its mission and destroy our joy in taking this revealed step of progress. Let us safeguard our new book of song from the personal sense of preferences and disappointments, and from unwillingness to learn new measures of beauty and harmony. Let us welcome the opportunity of learning the hymns that for long have been dear to our brothers and sisters of other lands, seeing in them an expression of that great bond of love which unites us all in song and salvation. The printing plates for the 640-page volume were prepared in Boston, with all the type set by hand. Kingsport Press of Kingsport, Tennessee, printed the initial order of 410,000 books. This was the largest known single order of hymnals ever placed with one firm. The work began on June 15, 1932, with 5 large presses running 20 hours a day. The more than 600 employees, nearly all of them descendants of early settlers in the Appalachian Mountains, found the printing of the 1932 hymnal one of the nicest jobs they ever had. They often sang or hummed the hymns as they worked on this massive project. The printing was completed in approximately 2 months. After 4 years of prayerful and faithful work by dedicated committee members and contributors from all over the world, the Publishing Society announced the imminent arrival of the new hymnal in the August 20, 1932 Sentinel. 2 weeks later, on Sunday, September 4th, the congregation of the Mother Church found the new books in the hymnal racks at the morning service. For more material associated with this chapter, including footnotes, photos, and music recordings, explore the full chapter on MaryBakerEddyLibrary.org.